On today's Part of My Take, we are back. It is a new year, new us. We have Mike Florio on the show to talk about all of the coaching changes in the NFL. We also break down the college football playoffs, an unbelievable Rose Bowl, and Week 17 of the NFL with a little preview of the wild card weekend coming up. Before we get to all of that, wanted to shout out our friends at MeUndies. We all wear MeUndies here, and with tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and ladies, MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they use a naturally soft fabric that is three times softer than cotton. For a limited time only, check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print. Lights out, Sean Merriman. Why not update your underwear drawer and glow at the same time? And if underwear isn't your thing, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world. So we're talking about soft on soft on soft. To get 20% off the best and softest underwear and socks you will ever own, free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/take. That's MeUndies.com/take. Let's go.
No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Tuesday, January 2nd, and you are hungover.
It is the most hungover week of your year.
You feel like shit right now.
You get started on a real low note, so yeah. We're going to bring it down a little bit, and we're going to talk real nice and soft here.
So
thank you for tuning in to Part of My Take.
I'm coming off, like you guys, I think, about 7 days straight of that weird feeling where every day you're not sober, you're completely full, and you're watching football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of that. I combined that with a crazy time zone switch, too. Mm. So I was out west for exactly long enough to the point where I woke up early the last day I was out there, and I just gotten used to the time. I was like, yep. Fuck, it's early.
All fucked up. So, Hank, you actually look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're all kind of...
I actually just woke up from a nap like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, we're all...
Thoughts and prayers.
We're all feeling the same way. You had 10 days of just doing whatever you want, feeling good, betting on football. Football starting at noon every day.
I lost a lot of money.
It's tough to come off that. It's tough to wean off that. So we're going to give everyone right now, whether you're in your office, whether you're still in bed, whether you're driving your car, close your eyes, and we're going to give 10 seconds of silence for everyone to collect themselves.
10, 9.
No, that's eight, not silence. Seven, no, wait. Shh. Okay, ready? Start it.
Okay.
Start the 10 seconds of silence
ten,
now.
Nine.
No, all right. If you're going to count through the 10 seconds, that's going to ruin the whole thing. All right, we're back.
Okay.
Football, baby.
Welcome
back. So, welcome back to Part of My Take. Hank actually fell asleep during those 10 seconds.
Hank, your eyes are bloodshot, buddy.
All right, we have some serious football to talk about. We're going to get to Week 17. First up, though, maybe one of the best football games ever?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll throw it up in
the
there.
Rose Bowl.
We're recency
the
bias.
Rose Bowl was amazing. It was just points and points. Unless you're a big defense guy.
Yeah.
If you're that guy that's like, well, I'd like to see a couple stops every now and again. First of all, please leave my party.
Well, I was going to say, if you're a big defense guy and you watch the Rose Bowl, then the Sugar Bowl back to back, like, how can you live with yourself? Because one game was exciting beyond belief. Twists everywhere. Baker Mayfield looked unstoppable. Then he didn't. Then he did again. And then you basically watch Alabama do the old cement mixer on Clemson and just kick the shit out of them for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And proved our theory that a scorned Nick Saban, an upset Nick Saban, is the scariest thing in sports.
Yeah, Nick Saban he's basically the same type of coach as Dabo Swinney, except he's like Dabo after he's like shunned Christianity altogether and just turned to Satan.
Yeah.
And I love it. Saban was furious. He was just looking pissed off the entire time. And now we've got an all SEC final.
Yeah.
Which is gonna be great. We've got Georgia and Alabama.
Mm.
And I'm trying to think of what the mayor's bet would be between Atlanta, you got Atlanta and Birmingham, right?
Yeah, it's great.
It's good quality stuff. A stripper.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, here it is. It's a lap dance from a stripper you want to get a lap dance from, and a lap dance from a stripper you don't want to get a lap dance from.
Chick-fil-A and next month's child payment, whatever you have to, you know, for your all the kids you got.
So, alimony.
Yeah, alimony. There you go.
Okay.
So the game, like that Rose Bowl was so, so much fun to watch. Baker Mayfield, whether you like him or not, I feel like everyone does like him. It's kind of like a test of like old man yelling at cloud. If you don't like Baker Mayfield, you also don't like fun. Mm-hmm. But that game, like back and forth, and Georgia, I don't know how they figured it out, but they're like, we figured out how to stop Baker Mayfield somewhere in the middle of the game, and then they held on for the overtime. And I like, that was one of those games, even as you were watching, you're like, I just want this game to last forever.
Mm. Yeah, so at the start of the second half, and actually the end of the second quarter, I was just like, why is Georgia not running the ball every single time? I think they were averaging like 20 yards a carry at some
point. Right, because Oklahoma was doing like a weird thing where half their guys just weren't trying to tackle anyone.
A hand up, I believe we gave you some advice to bet on Oklahoma last week because their defense was good enough to stop them. Turns out we were wrong.
But on the flip side, we also accurately predicted that Nick Saban is the scariest man on earth when he has a month to give his team bulletin board material.
That's true.
So we were right on that.
Saban was playing the no respect card. He told his team, everybody said that you couldn't win this game. Mm-hmm. They were 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's the best. SEC is back. SEC, they had half of the playoffs, and both of the teams were favored. So this was actually the statistically like most probable outcome to have two SEC teams.
Yes, I would also like to point out that maybe we can do like our own coaches poll, like a part of my take poll for the end of the season rankings. But I've got UCF number one,
national champions,
the program that Blake Bortles built,
undefeated. Scott Frost also coached two teams and took one of them to national championships, coaching Nebraska while also coaching UCF. Mm-hmm. That's pretty damn good.
That almost as impressive as Herm Edwards coaching Arizona State while still appearing on First Take.
Yeah, except Herm Edwards didn't coach Arizona State. It was the most awkward thing ever. Todd Graham coached him. I still don't understand why.
Yeah,
they were like it was so fucking weird. I could not understand it. They were like,
it's like driving
Todd Graham. He's spending his last practice in Tempe with his team. Like, why is Todd Graham being treated like he is like the greatest thing that ever? I guess he is probably the greatest thing ever happened to Arizona State. But it was very strange to have a coach fired and be like, "No, I'm going to stick around here."
Yeah, it was like driving your wife to your divorce hearing.
Yeah,
it's very strange. That's strange indeed.
I think that was what Karen Seifers did, right?
Something like that. They got sidetracked in a cemetery.
Yeah, and they just boned it out there.
Boned it out.
Yeah, the boneyard. It was similar. What they call the cemetery.
Except they got sidetracked in a cemetery on the way to get an abortion
at a Subway.
Same thing. Yeah. Tale as old as time.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna do more bowl talk tomorrow. We have Danny Cannell on, so we're gonna break down all the bowl games. We need to talk about Week 17 though.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little sentimental. I actually like got a not teary eyed, but like, wow, this was really cool when the Buffalo Bills finally broke the drought. Yeah.
It was bittersweet for me because I was really hoping that the Ravens would get into the playoffs.
So they could just lose so and be could, boring, no, and Joe Flacco could suck as always.
No, so they
Joe Flacco sucks.
Yeah, he's not good.
Okay.
But, Breaking news.
Breaking news. PFT commenter has just said that Joe Flacco is not good.
No, he's not good.
Okay.
He's elite, maybe. Okay. No. Wow. Honestly, he sucks. Yes, he hasn't been good. But I was just hoping for Danny.
Yeah.
It was mostly for
Woodhead.
Yeah,
I was too.
And I was
and
just,
your hair.
Yeah, that was 99.9% of the reason. I thought that the Ravens actually could have given the Patriots a pretty good game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they always do. They always find a way to make it a shitty game that you find yourself watching. You're like, this is competitive, but it sucks. But so I'm going to keep watching. I was upset to see them kind of choke it away at the last second. But I was very happy to see the city of Buffalo celebrate the way they did.
It's such a weird feeling because obviously the Bills aren't my team. I don't root for them, but I was so happy for the people of Buffalo. Like, we've been to Buffalo a few times. The city of Buffalo is like the nicest people in the world. There's a ton of award-winning listeners, and just like thinking about how happy all those people and the way it happened, like. I actually was thinking, like, the Bills are probably going to lose to the Jaguars, especially without Shady, but it's almost like the way that they broke the drought, if they had just broken it by being, you know, 12-4 and, like, clinched in Week 16, it wouldn't have been that exciting. This was so improbable. Like, no one expected the Bills to actually have all these things fall, like a Ravens minus nine at home.
Recurring guests helping recurring guests. That's right. Andy Dalton putting the team on his back.
That's right. Not to mention overcoming Nathan Peterman. So Nathan Peterman, he was the spark that started this playoff run.
So the question is, this is now a tough one for us because it's going to be the Bills versus the Jaguars. Yep. The Bills, we love Richie Incognito. We love the city of Buffalo.
Eric Wood.
Blake Bortles, he is the president of our Wikipedia club and longtime guest and friend and chaps. What do we do?
As the vice president of football operations for the Blake Bortles Wikipedia club, I feel like I have to go with the Jaguars. I've been jagging off for a few years now.
Maybe we split it. I'll go for the Bills.
We'll go Mare's bet.
Yeah, okay. I'll go for the Bills and you go for the Jags.
Okay, that's fair. A house divided.
It really is more like, you know what we should do? We should do that fucking lame thing that parents do and make the split jersey.
That's what. We could do that.
Yeah, or both just wear the Bortles incognitos. Yeah. Bic cognito.
Or we just make Hank a bumper sticker that says, like, a house divided by parents can't decide anything. And then make him just, like, wear a bumper sticker on his chair.
It's not your fault, Hank.
It's not your fault, Hank.
It's not your fault that we're breaking up.
Hank, who are you rooting for?
The Jaguars. No question.
No doubt about it. Wow. So next time Richie sees you, I'll just remember to tell him.
Oh, boy, the Jaguar wagon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll tell him. It would be a real shame if he slapped you across the face.
I'm not scared of him.
Oh. Ooh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
What is there to be scared about?
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Other week 17 stuff, the Browns. That pass that was dropped, the fact that the Browns went 0-16 and Hugh Jackson, 1-31 and Hugh Jackson is keeping his job, is truly, like, I don't understand. I really don't understand. I've read everything about it. I don't understand how Hugh Jackson still has a job.
So here's the thing. Haslam, he used to be like a part owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Stay woke. The Browns just might be a sleeper cell under Haslam to, like, continue to suck.
They didn't really need a sleeper cell to do that.
They didn't need a lot of help. But Haslam's giving it to him. But he's in that mindset where everybody that has, like, touched or set foot in Pittsburgh or New York thinks to themselves, consistency is key in the NFL. They forget that you have to actually have, like, a good coach first, and then you stay consistent. So they're just like, you know what? The Steelers never fire a coach, so we're just going to have this dog with a half boner sit in the coach's chair for 2 years and not fire him.
We don't want to start over. I think when you go 1-31, that's exactly when you want
to
start.
We don't want to burn it to the ground or burn it in Cleveland. We don't want to burn things down to the river.
And Hugh Jackson, he basically is a millennial. Because he's just basically been walking around being like, yeah, it's the roster's fault. Mm-hmm. Like he reminds me of what I used to do at my old job and be like, just blame it on someone else. Well, it's never my fault.
He's actually just blaming it on millennials.
Yeah. So I don't.
He's a self-loathing millennial.
We're going to get to more with it, Mike Florio, but I still don't. Yeah. It's crazy that they're keeping Hugh Jackson, especially with the first pick, and they can get, you know, probably Josh Rosen doesn't want to go there. Maybe Sam Darnold's probably not going to come out. No. So Baker Mayfield,
maybe.
That would be good. Like a short playmaker who likes to party.
Yeah, like a really emotional guy that might have a little bit too much spark. Runs around back there.
Oh.
Not great mechanics, but he knows how to win in college.
Okay. Won a Heisman.
If Baker Mayfield goes to the Browns, well, just say when he goes to the NFL, is he going to keep that weird white fucking do-rag that he wears, or is he going to change the color of that?
Good question. Someone gave me a hot take over the weekend. I can't remember who it was, but what if the Browns just drafted two quarterbacks the first round? So instant quarterback competition.
So are they picking, like, do they have two picks in the top five or something?
I just assume they have, like they'll do the chart, you know, a week before, be like, the Browns have 15 of the first 30 selections. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah, I hope cool.
They're still going to lose.
I really hope they spend every single one of their picks on quarterback.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Great. Just have a big competition.
Right, just corner the market on quarterbacks.
Yes, I love
it. Yeah, and then just start trading them.
I want to squat on a take real quick.
Okay.
So the Seahawks, they're going into this offseason. It looks like Pete Carroll's sticking around.
Team in transition is what we're calling them.
Okay. Yeah. Their window might be closing. Glory hole might be ending.
I think their window's closed.
Ooh, okay. Window debate. I think the window still has a crack in it.
Okay. Well, how do you define the window? Because I define the window off their defense, not off Russell Wilson.
Yeah, so I agree with that. Okay. I think that their defense still has a window open.
I think they're going to lose a lot of
guys. No, they're like a dog that goes up to the window and they can still smell the outside, but they can't
Screens up?
Yeah. Well, maybe a crack at the bottom. They can smell the outside, but they can't fit their nose at it.
Got it. Okay. So that was good window debate.
So I hear that they're probably going to lose their defensive coordinator.
Okay.
He's doing a lot of interviews and such. I'm thinking that they're going to bring Mike Pettine in. I'm just going to call it right now.
Okay.
The old coach of the Cleveland Browns because he's got a bald head and he's got a goatee and he's a defense guy.
He's perfect.
So we all know that Pete Carroll he's got his eyes peeled for the next Dan Quinn lookalike.
Ooh, Breaking Bad season 6. What season do we end on? 5?
6 or 7.
Walter White comes back as the Seahawks defensive coordinator.
Well, they like their meth and Adderall out there in Seattle. Mm,
that's actually would be, I'd
Richard
watch that.
Richard Sherman starts smoking up the baby blue. All of a sudden, he's able to remember the playbook.
Selling meth out of the Seahawks facility.
The Seattle Pharma Seahawks.
Yeah, Pete Carroll is kind of Gus Fring.
Yeah.
He's just a front for an Adderall operation.
Looks like we cracked the case on that
one.
Yeah,
we got the. So other things from week 17, unfortunately, the Titans made the playoffs. I know there's some people who are Titans fans listening to the show. I apologize that your feelings are going to get hurt.
They would probably agree with you.
But I really don't need the Titans in the playoffs, and they are ceremoniously going to be in that Saturday afternoon game, the J.J. Watt Bowl.
J.J. Watt, Andy Dalton Bowl.
Yeah, so they're hopefully going to be ousted by the Chiefs very quickly, but man, I do not need the Titans in my life anymore. I watched that game against the Jaguars. It was so fucking boring, and it was like, this team needs to win to get in, and they just really were not really trying. It was just a fucking terrible, terrible football game.
Yeah, that whole team, it's very, very boring. They wear, like, gray, weird uniforms.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure every single game for the last 3 years they've scored in the teens.
Yeah.
They haven't had any, like, 50.
No, yeah, they're the Kings.
They won 50 burger, maybe.
Yeah.
But besides that, it's like, they're going to win their game 17-13.
Yeah, no, yeah, they're the Kings of, like, a 16-point. Yeah. If the Titans can keep their opponent to under 16, they'll win over they lose.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
God damn it, Titans. And I know a lot of Titans fans, and they all agree that they want Mike Mularkey gone.
Mm. Yeah, I love the coach that gets fired who made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Other quick things, Jimmy G is going to be maybe the greatest hype beast ever coming into next season. I'm very excited for that.
I think the Niners could be good next year.
Yeah,
they're my dark horse.
The Niners deciding to win against teams that didn't want to win is going to make everyone think the Niners are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
Their over-under for wins is going to be like 9.5 next year.
Only 6-10, but you won't want to play them in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's true. They got hot.
Get in. Hottest team in the football right now.
Yeah. Hank did air quotes right there. So with Jimmy Garoppolo, the new debate is what's his nickname? Everyone's rushing to find a nickname for him.
Guwap. It's Jimmy Guwap.
Is it Guapo still?
No, Jimmy Guwap.
Too much chaw in your mouth.
That was just in Boston. I've heard Jimmy GQ.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's
is
pretty
that
bad.
Bill Simmons?
Well, that was Jason Whitlock.
Okay,
so that's a pretty good. Jimmy Jesus.
That's pretty bad too.
That's pretty bad. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they need a nickname for him.
Why not just Jimmy G?
Jimmy Guwap. Burr.
Yeah.
Jimmy G.
Yeah, Jimmy G.
It sounds a little like Sopranos-y.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's Italian.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm Marone. Jimmy G.
I mean, Royce Aroni over here.
Yeah.
Told you about the thing.
Can't wait till Hank watches the last episode and hates it.
Hey, I'm in San Francisco. Hey.
I can't wait to see what happens.
I'm paying $4,000 a month in rent over here.
They kill everyone.
The fuck?
All right. And then the last thing I had written down was, they don't actually kill everyone, Hank. They don't.
Ugly.
You think Belichick's pissed about missing out on Jimmy G?
Hank, by the way, is still watching The Sopranos for the first time right now. So
Hank, we just made up a bunch of bullshit there.
Yes, he is.
Yes. I actually think that Belichick is probably furious at Kraft.
Remember my sliding doors theory, the butterfly effect that was going to happen with Jimmy G getting traded?
Mm-hmm.
I think the wheels are in motion right now.
Yeah, I think this could be the end of the run for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Alex Guerrero, head coach, in waiting.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. You'd take Alex Guerrero as a head coach?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, gun to your head, Brady or Belichick?
Belichick.
Okay.
Okay. So but you just said that you'd take Alex Guerrero as head coach.
I mean, Belichick like probably left to go take on a GM, more GM role.
Mm-hmm.
Guerrero came in as coach. He was fine with it.
He's never coached a game in his life.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last thing I had before we get to who's back, Jack Del Rio. I feel bad for Jack Del Rio because no one deserves to be fired by Mark Davis. That has to be the saddest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark Davis, either Mark Davis probably calls him into his office. It probably smells like P.F. Chang farts and just like weird leather and like things on the fucking walls.
Back up for a second because I don't think that Mark Davis has an office.
Yeah, he probably just has like a hallway.
Yeah, no, he's a roamer. So I don't know if you've had one of these guys at your office that doesn't really have a desk. Mark Davis just walks around and just sidles up to people and asks them what they're doing all day.
I actually wouldn't be surprised if Mark Davis had like a mini bridge built somewhere in the facility. And he's just a little troll that lives under it. And he just like, if you walk by him, he's going to be like, hey, can I talk to you for a sec?
Hey, what are you working on?
Yeah, what's going on right now? Have you been taking care of the things I've been asking you to do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, you haven't? All right, you're fired.
I think that Mark Davis just likes John Gruden so much because John Gruden looks like what Mark Davis thinks that Mark Davis looks like.
Yes.
When he looks in the mirror, he sees Chucky looking
When
back
Mark
at
Davis
him.
Puts on a suit, he's like, me and Gruden could be twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to do the thing where, like, he'll play all these goofy tricks and, like, make John dress up the same way he does.
Yeah.
Let's see if people can tell us apart
today,
John. Yeah,
let's both wear turtlenecks today, John. This would be great. Like, people won't even know. They'll be like, oh, shoot, we got pranked again by the Davis brothers.
Hey, John, let's wear these weird white jumpsuits together that don't really fit, and you can see your nuts hanging out
John
everywhere.
John Gruden will do it. Yeah. Let's show a little camel toe or whatever. What's the moose knuckle?
Yeah.
Let's show a little moose knuckle today, John.
No one's going to be able to know it's us. He goes to P.F. Chang's, and he tries to pay for his tip. He's like, put it on the Gruden tab. Yeah. It's me, John Gruden.
Yeah, hey, John, let me just slide into bed with your wife. Yeah. It will be cool. She'll think it's you.
You won't know the difference.
Oh, God. That's such a scary visual. That's probably true.
That is that's a bad scenario for Jack Del Rio, though. Yeah. I agree with you. And the worst part was they made Jack Del Rio go out and announce his own firing to the media.
Yes.
He had to go out there and be like, so I guess Mark Davis just fired me.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that.
I imagine, like you said, Mark Davis is a lurker. He fires him. Then they shake hands. Like, Jack Del Rio gets, like, Cheeto dust on his fingers from Mark Davis. And then he has to go out and be like, yeah, so I don't know if you guys saw that troll walking around, he just fired me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's it.
Mark Davis strikes me as a guy that walks around all day with, like, peanut butter or honey on his finger. Yeah. He just eats peanut butter out of the jar with
his
hands.
He's just licking his fingers.
Like a bear.
He licks his, he probably, like, puts his hand in other people's chip bags,
takes
some chips, licks his fingers, then goes back into the chip bags.
Yeah, that's rough. And so then John Gruden is getting the job despite the fact that, like, I guess Del Rio got fired, and then about 20 seconds later, they were like, Gruden's getting this job.
Yeah.
Meaning Gruden, little weaselly guy.
Yeah.
He was talking about another man's job.
He loves this. I stay woke. I think that John Gruden, in one last, tip of the cap to ESPN paying him an insane amount of money, is going to announce that he's the new Raiders coach during the Saturday wildcard game.
Mm. That'd be ratings bonanza.
Yeah, maybe a little tears.
By the way,
a little fist pump to get rid of those tears.
Am I the only one that thinks that John Gruden sucks as a head coach?
Yeah, oh, no, he absolutely does.
Okay, good.
He coached with Tony Dungy's players in Tampa and won a Super Bowl.
He had Monty Kiffin calling his defense.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm going to try to throw the ball to Keyshawn Johnson five times a game.
No, this is a fact. Yeah, this is a fact. All right, let's get to our who's back. Before we do that, Blue Apron has a great meal plan for you. Families that cook together, stay together. Blue Apron will send you some delicious meals, and you can whip them up real quickly in your home. There's nothing like a home-cooked meal. So Blue Apron has these for you. I'm just going to say a couple of the things they have on the menu. General Tso's chicken with bok choy and jasmine rice. Yeah, a little Mexican spiced barramundi with kale, steak Diane. Steak Diane with mushroom pan sauce and mashed potatoes. So go right now. Blue Apron is running this deal for everyone, all of our listeners. You can go first three meals, a $30 value with your first order if you visit blueapron.com/pardon. They're giving them to you for free, the first three meals, $30 value, blueapron.com/pardon. So go check out this week's menu. Get your $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/pardon. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Everyone loves a home-cooked meal. They can all be cooked under 45 minutes, and the menu changes every single week. So go right now, blueapron.com/pardon. All right, who's back? Let's do it. Hank, why don't you kick us off? First, who's back of the year?
First one, I have a few.
Okay.
That's fine.
Wow. All right. We're going to be here for a while.
My first who's back is me. I got hundreds of thousands of tweets over the break begging me to come back to the podcast. So,
Is that right?
To those people, never fear. I'm back.
Okay.
So, thanks. Hank, did you listen to the show?
I did.
Okay.
And what did you find? Did you hear anything special?
No, anything you liked?
I mean, it was an okay show. You guys did all right.
Okay.
Okay, so you didn't hear the message that we left for
you.
No,
I listened to it.
I heard it.
It's great to have you back.
Mm-hmm. My other who's back is Isaiah Thomas. He's back for the Cavs. He's playing on Tuesday. Too scared to play against the Celtics on Wednesday.
Ooh.
But he is, quote-unquote, back.
Okay.
Despite not playing against the Celtics.
Are you going to be rooting for him?
No.
To do well?
No.
No?
Wow.
I like Isaiah Thomas. Like, I like what he did for Boston, but at the end of the day, like, he's kind of been trashing trashed the Celtics medical staff. He kind of trashed
Danny
Ainge.
Oh, yeah, that's a big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to stick up for your team.
At the end of the day, when you're playing for Cleveland, like, I can't really root for you. Yeah, like, I think he's a good person. I think he was great for the Celtics, but I'm not going to be, like, in his corner.
Yeah. Okay.
White power and the three symbol are back.
Wait, okay, well, what? I'm going to go ahead and veto this. As an anti-Nazi podcast.
Yep. The stupid little three, like, middle school joke that everyone has been doing lately that has come back out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, the punch joke. Yeah, you hold it below. Yeah.
Apparently that is synonymous with white power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so, no, because you flip it and you put it under your waist and then you get two.
Now, I've been following along with this whole white power three thing, trying to, like, trace the origins of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did originate as, like, a white power thing, but then people made the symbol just to be like, I'm going to trigger people because they think I'm doing white power, but I'm actually not. I'm just making them think that to make sure that they're triggered.
Yeah.
And then now it's become like a whole clusterfuck where nobody knows what it actually means.
Right.
Chaos
in the streets.
Chaos in the streets is back.
Okay.
Right. My last who's back is Jumpsuit January.
Yes.
A huge, great feeling today. I was realizing that we're only going to wear a jumpsuit for the next 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
Only have a couple, so if there's any companies out there that want to send us some, 15 West 27th Street.
Mm. Yeah.
New York, 10001.
We will wear them.
Yeah.
I love Jumpsuit January.
Please put zippers on the pockets as well while we're making requests, because I just keep dropping shit out of my pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumpsuits have become kind of a year-round thing for me.
It's really no change for you.
Now I make sure they
match.
We got
to match it. You got to match the tops and the bottoms.
It's a lot of work.
I have been wearing sweatpants and then different sweatshirts, but now I'm matching every day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal for me. It's kind of like formal January.
Yeah.
My who's back of the week is birthday month.
Ooh, let's go.
Congrats, Big Cat.
Hey, we're going to be 33.
33,
Jesus
Larry
died
Bird.
When he was 33.
That's right, our Jesus year.
Mm-hmm.
And then but Jesus also came back to life when he was 33.
So he's still living.
Yeah.
So this will actually be the last year of our life and also the first year of our life.
Brace debate, was Jesus still 33 or was he one when he came back, reborn?
Well, there was no year zero.
Mm.
So he was... I don't know.
He was probably one of those annoying parents who's like, my kid is 14 months.
Yeah.
I just say he's one.
Jesus was like, hey, I'm 740 months.
Yeah.
Did Jesus ever have sex?
Mm.
We don't talk about
that.
This is
like a Tebow debate.
Mm.
We don't talk about that nearly enough.
I'd say yeah.
He had to, right?
I'd say yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, hey, what are you doing, Jesus?
Yeah, because like, it was before AIDS.
Yeah.
So people just fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good call.
Mm-hmm.
My other who's back of the week is Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because Scott Frost.
I'm a little nervous about that.
Scott Frost is going to be running the triple option in practice out in Nebraska. He's going to be running over his own linebackers for the first couple weeks.
He is a really good coach.
He's
and
a
I'm
great coach.
Very, very worried.
Yep. And then my other who's back of the week is the Winter Classic. People forget that the Winter Classic was today, and nobody talked about it.
Yeah, so the NHL, way to go, NHL. Way to go, Gary Bettman. You took, like, the greatest thing that could ever happen, and then you just decided you'd add, like, seven more Winter Classics every year, and now no one even knows when it happens.
You know what they did? They skycammed the shit out of it.
They
did what the NFL did this year, where they did, like, one game, or, like, one series that had mostly skycam. They're like, let's do the whole game with skycam.
At midnight tonight, I was like, oh, PFT, do you see there was the Winter Classic? And then it took us like 3 minutes to figure out who played because that's just what the NHL does. Like, here's a good idea. Let's just murder it.
Yeah, it was like the Rangers and somebody. Yeah. It should just be the Caps and the Penguins every year.
Well, it should be the Caps and the Penguins, and then it should be like the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. And it will always be good.
Everybody will love it.
And then maybe every now and then you can do like the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens.
Also, who's back? It's 2018. It is officially now the Caps year.
Okay, that's going to go well. All right, my who's back, the first one is...
You have more than one?
Yeah, I have more than one. New Year's jokes. So you can go a lot of different ways with this. I like the people who, like, when one good thing happens on January 1st, be like, wow, 2018's already lit. Or if this is going to be how 2018 is, this is going to be a great year. Mm-hmm. Those are the same people who by like May are like, why won't 2018 end already? Because someone said something on Twitter they didn't agree with.
Also, when you do something exactly like you've been doing for the past year and then you say, new year, new me.
Yeah.
As a joke.
I also, I follow a bunch of Instagram models.
Oh, cool.
And they were big into...
On Twitter?
Like, yeah, on Instagram.
You friends with them?
On December 30th or 31st, they all were big into like the last workout of the year. So that must be cool, being like, this is my last workout. I've been working out all year.
Also, bitching about people at the gym on January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any New Year's jokes?
No.
Or resolutions?
Oh, yeah. So that's my next who's back, my diet.
Oh.
So I'm actually, Hank's very skeptical. I'm actually going to do it this year. I'm going to lose some weight in January. Why do you keep doing the drum chant sound?
Sorry.
Why? Why? You don't believe
me? Are you doing a bit right now?
No, I'm not doing a bit. I'm fucking going to lose weight, you motherfuckers. I'm getting really, like, and my energy's low.
Is this a new character you've got?
I got low T.
Danny Fit?
Yeah, Danny Fit. I got low T. I'm not going to, listen, you guys can either support me or not. I'd like to live past 33, so I'm going to lose some weight this January.
Paleo Dan.
No, I'm going to go no carb.
Yeah,
except for
Dan.
The one cheat day, which I can eat anything.
Yeah,
anything. And show days.
When we go late.
This, but see, this is a problem. You guys already are putting me in a bad spot where you don't think I can do it.
I think you can do it. I believe in you.
So I think I weigh about 240-ish, somewhere around it. And I'm gonna try to get to like 225 by my birthday.
Okay.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm. First, like 7 pounds come off by just me like not eating breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So take a big dump, don't eat breakfast, boom. Halfway to my goal. So yeah, that diet is back. So I appreciate if everyone could just be like really supportive of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can do this. Don't, you know, mock me.
You can do this.
Motherfucker. All right, my last who's back is the Big Ten.
Okay.
Oh. Won the bowl season. Many people are saying the Big Ten won the bowl season. Yeah. 7-1 in bowls.
How many teams did you guys have in the final four?
7-1 in bowls. Mm-hmm. And dominated. Just dominated everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Snatched that turnover chain right out of Miami's hands. Mm-hmm. Biggest loser of the bowl season, by the way, is Mark Richt. Not only is his former team going to the national championship, but the turnover chain like got shat on by Wisconsin.
And just in general, whenever you lose a job to somebody named Kirby, that's a bad year.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. Unless you remember that video game?
Kirby's Playland or whatever
fucking
it was.
Best.
You know what? Kirby looked,
actually, I'm not
Kirby
playing,
looked
I'm not
delicious,
playing,
didn't he?
I'm not playing Kirby's in January because I'm on a diet.
Okay.
He just vacuums everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not doing that.
He's like a big, big thing at candy corn.
Yeah. You're right, though. Losing a job to Kirby is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. And getting the turnover chain snatched by Paul Chryst, who's like the most boring coach in the world, mm-hmm. and being like, fuck your turnover chain on national television. That was the first time he swore in his life.
Paul Chryst is the kind of guy, he would like steal somebody's chain and then just use it to lock his shed with it.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd just be like, ooh, this chain will be great for my bike.
Yeah. I'll tie up my horse with it.
Yeah. My Huffy. Now no one will take my Huffy. All right, let's get to our interview with Mike Florio. Before we do that, it is a new year, and there's time to work on your imperfections. It's 2018. Reach out and put your hands on your head. How much hair are you going to feel a year from now if it's business as usual? Probably a lot less. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. Resolved to not be that guy who does nothing to keep his hair. Also, PFT, you're going to try to keep your make facial hair.
Man, I'm trying to give myself facial hair.
You're trying to give yourself facial hair. Have you
been
using
four hymns?
That's
my New Year's resolution. I'm about to start.
Okay.
So new year, new me.
So the one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men, by guys, for dudes. It's 4hymns.com. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go right now, 4hims.com/PMT. That's FORHIMS.com/PMT. 4hims.com/PMT. Do it right now. Save your hair. All right, here he is, Mike Florio. All right, we now welcome on one of our favorite guests. It is our NFL insider, Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio. Happy New Year, Mike. How long do you say Happy New Year's?
Well, you know what? My radio producer, Stats, he gets pissed off if you say Happy New Year any day other than January 1, so I will tell him Happy New Year until March at least.
Yeah, like well, that's what February. You should do. As an NFL insider, you should know the league year does not begin until March 15th,
mm-hmm.
so it's still 2017.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, between the regular New Year, Chinese New Year, the League New Year, there's a New Year every month. You can just stretch it out all the
Jewish
way.
Jewish New Year.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like to go till February. Let's talk some NFL. We have a ton of stuff to get to. I'm going to start because there is so much stuff, but let's start with the thing that everyone is talking about. John Gruden. Is he the next coach for the Oakland Raiders?
Well, here's what amazed me about this, and really – if ESPN doesn't report it, when it's an ESPN employee who's potentially going to coach the Raiders, they would look ridiculous.
Yep.
So the fact that they're reporting it and he's not shouting from the rooftops that it's all bullcrap and why are you guys saying this and there's nothing to it? I mean, it tells me there's something to it. The fact that they're reporting it and the fact that Shefty was on with Van Pelt the other night saying that Gruden will be the next coach of the Raiders, I mean, hell, that tells us everything we need to know. He's going to be the coach of the Raiders. They fired Del Rio knowing that they were getting him, and now it's just a question of working it all out. Now, that said, the chance that the guy with the bowl cut screws it up at some point between now and consummation, I think it's, 25% over-under, but I think all signs are pointing to Gruden, and it's going to take something unexpected at this point to keep it from happening.
Okay, so a couple questions on that. Jack Del Rio, he's got to be pissed at Gruden, right? Because we always say you don't talk about another man's job. I'm just connecting the dots. It sounds like Gruden was talking about Jack Del Rio's job.
But on the flip side, I heard rumors that Jack Del Rio lost the locker room.
Well, look, they had issues all season long. They underachieved. I was told a week ago it was 50-50 that Del Rio was going to be fired, and I didn't know that Mark Davis was going to make a play for Gruden. I suggested a couple months ago that he should, because think about it. They got to sell tickets in Oakland next year, and bringing Marshawn Lynch back for another season, if they do it, I don't know if that's going to make a difference. They got 1 year, maybe two in Oakland. They don't know where they're going to be in 2019. They got an excitement for Las Vegas. This one makes sense from a business standpoint. I don't know what it's going to do from a football standpoint. But from selling tickets and creating buzz, then it makes plenty of sense. And I think Tampa Bay was interested. Look, Tampa Bay decided on Friday to keep Dirk Cutter, right? Yeah, I mean, that's like saying the Patriots decided on Friday to keep Bill Belichick. I mean, obviously they were thinking about doing
what?
Something.
Wait. Can you say that sentence one more time?
Yeah. No, because you're going to clip it and you're going to use it against me.
No, we can already clip it.
I don't think we needed to do anything. That was an outrageous statement.
No, but my point is, for the Buccaneers to say that Dirk Cutter is going to be back and people to assume that that's the way it was going to be all along, they decided on Friday to keep him.
Oh,
that's my point.
Gotcha.
You're not going to hear like that, hey, oh yeah, the Patriots decided on Friday to keep Bill Belichick and the Steelers decided on Friday to keep Mike Tomlin. The point is, they were thinking about doing something, and presumably they were in on Gruden, and they're never going to admit it now. So I think it was the Buccaneers and the Raiders going back and forth for Gruden, and ultimately the Raiders put together a package. They got Gruden to say, I'm going to take it. It's just a matter of time before he does.
Now, sir, are they going to make him an owner, like a partial owner of the Oakland Raiders?
Well, I mean, that's part of this report. I can't imagine the NFL agreeing to it. You know, the NFL has been very good about holding down coach salary for the last 10 or 15 years. When you look at how the salary cap's gone up, how player compensation has gone up, coaching pay has not spiked to the same degree. And I don't think the management council would look too kindly on starting down this path, because if Gruden gets it, the other coaches who have accomplished more significant things than him are going to say, well, we want a piece of it too, or we want more money. He's getting $10 million a year. We want raises. We want more. We want more. And I think the owners have done a nice job of kind of keeping the coaches in a corner on squeezing for more the way that they could. And if Gruden gets what is reported, and if he gets a piece of the equity, you're going to have other coaches who want it too, and that's not going to be good for the owners.
So what you just described to me, like this ownership council, it sounds like a bunch of old white dudes in a room with like cloaks and torches and flames that they put out. How is what you just described any different than collusion?
Well, it is collusion. I mean, that's the thing. But who's ever going to sue them, right?
Colin Kaepernick.
Because coach, well, exactly. And I don't know that collusion as it relates to coaches is going to be relevant to him, but let me tell you, everyone's gone.
You don't
quiet
think that Colin Kaepernick's a better head coach than Hugh Jackson?
Well, hey, any of us could be within one game of Hugh Jackson over the last 2 years. I mean, hell.
True.
So maybe you guys should throw your hat in the ring. I mean, my God. And Hugh keeps his job, which makes no sense, but collusion makes plenty of sense in the NFL. I think it happens a lot. I think the whole thing is premised on collusion. The fact that they have a league that binds together 32 independent businesses and they guide them in the direction they want them to go. There's collusion everywhere, and this Kaepernick grievance has gone very, very quiet. I think that the arbitrator that's going to hear it has told both sides quit talking about it. But from the get-go, I believe that case is a lot stronger than a lot of the reports made it sound to be, because I think collusion does happen in the NFL all the time.
So you mentioned Hugh Jackson. That was maybe the biggest shocker of any of these stories that have gone on in the last, like, 48 hours. Hugh Jackson not only staying, but in a weird way, like every time Hugh Jackson gets in front of a microphone, he almost says that he's not to blame for the Browns going 1-31. And if you watch the Browns this year, they were in a few games, and I feel like almost every other coach wins a game this year. So what the hell is going on? What does he have over Jimmy Haslam that's keeping him in Cleveland?
you know, I don't know what it is. And you hit the nail right on the head. There's enough talent in Cleveland that they can be competitive. No one was saying that their free agency class was crap. No one was saying that their draft picks were horrible. They were praised by a lot of people for what they did in the draft. The talent is there, and a competent coach is going to make the difference, at least in one game out of 16. You're going to be good for a touchdown here or there. We saw at the end of the Steelers-Patriots game how not being prepared, not being properly locked in and having the plays ready to go, how it screwed up the Steelers. You make the right decision at the right time. You can win games as a coach. And the fact that he's 1-32 does not speak well of his coaching abilities. I think that the Haslams, both Jimmy and Dee, are so concerned about the criticism they've gotten in the past for firing guys too quickly. They've just decided, damn it, we're holding on to Hugh Jackson. No one can criticize us for getting rid of him too quickly, and now we're going to hold on to him for too long.
So they're worried that they've gotten rid of guys too quickly, so they keep the guy who's won one game in two seasons?
That's the only thing that makes sense. I don't know what the other explanation
that's
is.
That's unreal.
Sort of blackmail. Maybe he has the actual Pilot Flying J rebate files, and I'm kidding.
I was thinking that maybe Hugh just told him that the wins were coming later on in the form of rebates, so Jimmy was going to stick around.
Yes,
checks in the mail on that one. So we did have a number of coaches get fired. We had obviously like the Giants. We knew that was going to be an opening, and now we have Detroit, Chicago,
Indianapolis, Arizona.
Yeah, so what are the hot young names that are getting thrown around there? Like, are we going to hear North Turner?
Yeah, I don't think North Turner is going to be back. You know, Josh McDaniels' name is going to come up for a lot of these jobs. And I still don't think he leaves until he can get a situation like the one Bill Belichick has. So if you have general managers with these teams and they'd be hiring Josh McDaniels, I don't think he's going to be attracted to that. He's going to want to go to a place where there's a clean slate, meaning no GM, no head coach, and he can engineer it so the GM that he wants is there, setting the table for him the way that Nick Caserio sets the table for Bill Belichick. I mean, Pat Shurmur is going to get a lot of interest for what he did with Case Keenum. I mean, if he can turn Case Keenum into a borderline Pro Bowler and possible MVP candidate, what
Jeff
do
Fisher.
With,
mm-hmm. you know, Jeff Fisher planted that seed.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an interview just because of his connection to the league office.
Yes,
I could see Roger Goodell pushing one of these owners to give him an interview. Not that he's going to get a
the
job.
The Fisher rule.
I could see him getting an interview.
That's like the Rooney rule. Jeff Fisher has to get interviewed at least once every go-around. That actually should be a law.
That crap he came up with a couple of weeks ago with how the Rams are good and he's partially credit for that.
Stop him where he's wrong.
Can you imagine getting him in a room with Jim Irsay,
mm-hmm.
right? He could bamboozle Jim Irsay.
Oh, yeah,
now, Chris Ballard's going to be there to kind of say, Jim, no. But I could see Jeff Fisher convincing an owner at some point in the next 2 or 3 years that it makes sense to hire a guy that's got 350 games under his belt as opposed to rolling the dice on a guy who's never been a coach before. Mm-hmm.
What is, instead of the hot names, what is the number one place, like in terms of consistency in the organization, quarterback, everything. What is the coveted job at this point?
You know what? I mean, those jobs don't come open, right? I would say the Giants, just because they don't like to fire guys, and I think it was so out of character to do what they did this year that they'll probably hold on to this next iteration of Dave Gettleman plus whoever he hires longer than they should. And the thinking is Jim Schwartz is going to end up with that job, that if it's all predetermined, they're going to hire Dave Gettleman, they're going to hire Jim Schwartz, but we'll see. But I think the Giants make the most sense. The problem is, what are you going to do with quarterback? You're going to have to disengage from Eli Manning at some point, and then you're going to have to hope that you find a franchise quarterback. I mean, I like to think the Lions makes sense because you've got a guy who's still on the right side of 30 who has had multiple seasons either at 5,000 or close to it, yards passing. And the expectations are so freaking low that, you know, it's not like you're stepping into this tradition of greatness that you're going to have to live up to. You go there and you get the team. All you got to do is win a playoff game. And they're going to build a freaking statue for it.
Right. You're a god in Detroit if you do that. Mm-hmm. So in a situation like Detroit, they've got Cooter, who is probably going to stick around. Is that fair to assume?
Well, you know, he was on a hot seat at one point earlier in the season. So I don't like the idea of bringing in a head coach and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to give you the job. You can't hire an offensive coordinator. We're going to keep the guy we have.
But,
the offense was part of the problem. If you're going to go with a clean slate, go with a clean
slate. All right, let's say
get rid of everybody.
Let's say hypothetically in a situation like Detroit, they have a decent coordinator like Cooter. If they're looking to bring in a defensive guy off the street, who are they going to bring in? Is it going to be Patricia, or who are the other defensive names?
Well, Matt Patricia is a name that's come up, and you know, what fascinates me about Matt Patricia, and this seems petty and vindictive, but it's reality in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He wore that clown nose shirt coming off the plane, and it pissed off the commissioner. And as of July, the commissioner was still pissed, and I don't think he's gotten over it. And the Lions were very involved with the league office in hiring Bob Quinn to be the GM. They communicated heavily with the league office, and I think the league office has a way of making its preferences known. And I don't know how direct it'll be. There may be some subtlety to it, but I could see an effort by 345 Park Avenue to steer the Lions away from Patricia. And that's why I thought it's funny he's showing up on, like, the Giants list. Like, do they want to not create the impression that they're going to try to blackball Patricia from being a head coach because of the Giants connection to Goodell with John Mara?
But yeah, interesting.
That clown nose shirt, they keep Matt Patricia at New England for years to come.
Classic Belichick.
Yeah, yep. Isn't the NFL such a fucking ridiculous league when you're talking about, like, you know, a guy can get we're going to hire this guy to this organization so that all the other organizations don't think this organization is working with Goodell, and, like, there's nothing like it. It's just a reality show at all times.
Well, but here's the thing. I think most large businesses have that, you know, the people who run it, they're susceptible to the same human emotions that drive a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it fascinating, because at times they are petty. At times they are vindictive. At times you do have to watch your back. They're going to come get you if you're too aggressive in whatever it is that you do that they don't like. Just like with Colin Kaepernick. You know, they want the players to be robots, and he made all the robots self-aware as to their power when it comes to the national anthem. And I think that's mm-hmm. the main reason why no one was interested in him this year. I'd be shocked if he's back in the league next year.
Are there any playoff teams that you think might have a coaching vacancy? Like, hypothetically, a team like, let's say, just a shot out of the dark, the Tennessee Titans.
Like talking about other guys' jobs.
Don't do that.
Hypothetically, this is all hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetically, potentially, a team that plays its games in Nashville that also plays football. Yeah, I mean, look, Mike Mularkey, if they get embarrassed by the Chiefs on Sunday, it wouldn't surprise me if they decide to move on, because he was in a get to the playoffs or bust mindset anyway. Now the rest of the playoff teams, there's really no one that jumps out at me that would be in any trouble, but I think Mularkey would be the one that if they lose, and they lose in ugly fashion to the Chiefs, then you'd have to spend next Monday and Tuesday wondering whether or not we're going to hear that he's out.
What's going on with the Packers? Are they imploding?
I don't know if they're imploding. I mean, look, plenty of Packers fans have been waiting for Ted Thompson to go as the GM, and now he's gone. He's transitioning to a different role, whatever that means.
Is he going to be the janitor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to have the one phone that takes all the phone calls from all the owners.
Yeah. Well, would you really want to stay with an organization where you were the GM? You
60,000 bosses.
You're going to go sit in the corner, and somebody else is going to run it. I mean, just pay me to stay at home, buy out my contract, whatever the case may be. It almost feels like they're rubbing his face in a little bit. I mean, I'm sure he has something to offer. But you're either going to keep the guy or you're going to get rid of the guy. And I don't know if they're trying to be respectful to him or what. But, you know, it's going to be a desirable gig because they don't have to deal with a real owner. Think about that. You don't have Jerry Jones looking over your shoulder. You don't have to explain things to Jim Irsay. You got a CEO. You got a board of directors. And basically the GM runs the show and doesn't get micromanaged the way some of these other GMs do.
He's transitioning, by the way, so it's his choice. He just mm-hmm. He no longer identifies as a general manager.
Yeah, so respect it.
Have you noticed that nobody gets fired anymore? It was mutual parting a couple of years ago. Now it's just parting ways with.
Conscious uncoupling.
Yeah, so, all right. So two names that I wanted to talk about that. Bruce Arians, is he actually retiring? And Pete Carroll, there's been some rumblings of maybe a mutual walking away from it. Do you think that's going to happen at all?
Well, you know, Arians retired 6 years ago in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I mean, they retired him. And the next thing you know, he lands in Indianapolis. He's coach of the year that year as offensive coordinator because Chuck Pagano was gone most of the year fighting leukemia. And then Arians gets the Cardinals job, and he's coach of the year there. I think he really is done, though. If he's not, the Colts should be interested, and the Bears should be interested. And what stops them from making a phone call mm-hmm. and saying, hey, Bruce, are you really done? Now, the Cardinals may say, hey, wait a minute, he still had time left under contract. You have to give us compensation. He just can't walk away from us and resurface somewhere else. But would it shock me if he gets away from it for a month and realizes he could work with Andrew Luck again or, you know, maybe he likes Mitchell Trubisky, or maybe he gets a call from the Lions. That would shock me. And as to Carroll, I don't see Carroll walking away. You know, back at the league meetings in March, Robert Kraft told me that he wants Bill Belichick to coach into his 80s. And I said that to Pete Carroll, what do you think about that? And he said, well, I stopped there. I mean, I don't think he's a guy that's going to retire in his mid-60s. He's got a ton of energy. I mean, could he end up somewhere else? I guess. There's going to have so many changes there that I, you know, maybe now's the time for him to move on. But you know what? Build it again like you built it in 2010 and 2011. Go out and find the young players. Put John Schneider to work at finding the next Legion of Boom or whatever the guys need to find. You got a franchise quarterback who's, what, 28, 29 years old. He told me earlier this year he wants to play until he's 45. You got the toughest position to take care of. Build a team around him. So I don't know why in the world Pete Carroll would want to leave that.
I hope the Bears just, like, send Bruce Arians a picture of, like, a bunch of paint in, like, a week, being like, Bruce, hey, you can drink paint up at Hallis Hall.
A Google Maps screen cap of all the Sherwin-Williams in the, like, Chicagoland
area.
Mix
your own. Yeah.
It's a great drinking town.
Do you ever get over the fact, Big Cat, that they hired Mark Trestman?
No, because not only that, Mike, but the way that it went down, because if you remember, it was because Mark Trestman, Bruce Arians was like, I'm not doing this stupid fake press conference you guys want to do. And Mark Trestman was like, sure, I'll do it. I want a job. And they went with him because of, like, you know, in this weird world that's Hallis Hall, they're like, well, if we control the media, it doesn't matter if we lose. Like, no, you guys fucking suck, and you run it like a mom-and-pop organization.
Shouldn't that be the test, though, that if you refuse to do it, then you should get the job?
You're a football guy.
Yes,
I'm not playing pretend. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
It's like when the Riddle of Solomon, where they said, we're going to cut the kid in half.
Right. Why don't I go win games? And then doesn't matter what I say at a press conference.
I'm going to throw a name out there real quick for you, one that's generated a lot of buzz around the PMT studio, Eric Mangini, the man genius.
Mm.
He found Danny Woodhead. People forget that. Now, I'm not saying necessarily as a head coach. Head coach, GM, what have you. Tell me that it's a possibility.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't rule out somebody hiring him to come in to work on the defense somewhere. I mean, he's a good defensive coordinator. He wasn't unsuccessful. He was in a bad spot with the Jets, and then he was with the Browns. And I mean, in hindsight, some of these guys, you know, anybody who won more than a game in 2 years did pretty damn well with the Browns.
True.
So I just, you know, here's what hurts him at some level is the Spygate stuff from 10 years ago, because the perception is, you know, you left the Patriots, you go to a different team, you start telling secrets, you create problems.
Oh, another one of these politics.
In our building in the future. Exactly.
Omerta. Did he violate Omerta?
Yeah.
Because he was on The Sopranos. I don't think that Tony would have him around if he was going to be being a rat.
I like this whole, like, let's spin it now, like Butch Davis should put on his resume one more than one game with the Browns.
Hey, Pat Shermer was 9-23. That looks great. Mike Pettine should throw his hat back in the ring somewhere. He won 10 out of 32 games.
That's pretty good.
Exactly.
So on the other side of the Gruden nonsense going out in Oakland, John Gruden would be leaving the ESPN Monday Night booth. Do you hear any names that might be replacing him?
I haven't heard any. And I mean, there's been some speculation. I think Arians would be good. I think the Big League, they wrote that recently.
He cusses too much.
Arians would be a candidate.
Yep.
Yeah. I kind of like that. Wouldn't Arians be good?
Yeah, he'd be awesome, but they'd never do it.
Like Ron White. You have him like Ron White with a glass of bourbon during the program. He gets drunker and drunker like Howard Cosell used to back when they frowned upon that stuff. I mean, I think that would be great.
Yeah, I got a name for you.
He's got the transition lenses just like going totally dark as he gets drunker and drunker like a mood ring.
I got a name for you. Primetime Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
They don't call him Primetime Jay Cutler for nothing.
You
no
don't
one calls him
mood
that,
ring,
except me.
You don't hear a mood ring reference very often. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler, what do you think about that name?
Well, I don't know.
Primetime.
I think he was going to be
Mr. Personality.
He's going to be good at Fox if he would have ended up doing it. I mean, he's got that devil may care attitude, right? Put a cigarette in his mouth and
that's one
let him do his thing.
It.
I mean, I think there's a chance he could be good.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Bill Walton?
That's a good one.
Okay.
Dennis Miller.
And he didn't wreck.
Ooh, that's
Dennis Miller. Bring him back. Ooh, Rex.
Rex was surprisingly bad.
He was terrible. Well, he didn't actually, he was kind of did the Billy Football thing where he just didn't talk into the mic.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, he was like really soft the entire time.
Ooh, what if ESPN just went like a full MS ESPN PC and they got Kaepernick and Ta-Nehisi Coates?
That'd be good too.
Yeah.
Christie, what about that?
Ooh.
Hey, is Ryan in?
From
I don't
Jerry
watch
Jones'
pre-game
box.
Shows. Is Rex Ryan any good on that?
We don't watch that show, Mike.
Yeah.
You know that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah,
I'm
you
sorry.
Know
that's
that.
A sore point.
We don't
yeah,
watch
I
that
forgot.
Show.
I, you know what? I wasn't intentionally being addicted. That was accidental.
No, I know. I know you weren't.
They brought him in to be the heel.
Yeah.
If you know
yeah.
what I'm saying.
All right. We have the last question. It's actually sponsored by SeatGeek. Go download the SeatGeek app right now. Put in promo code TAKE, and you get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. This is a new thing, by the way. We have a sponsored questions now on Part of My Take. So
you
download
know what? If you're
it.
You're gonna do that. You got to give me some scratch, right? If you're gonna have sponsored
yeah.
questions.
Oh. Yeah, oh, here you go, $10. I'm going to give you $10. Go download the SeatGeek app, put in the promo code
okay,
TAKE.
Thank you.
I just bought
thank
you a beer.
You, it's a deal.
How did your fantasy team end up?
Yeah. You know what? You guys have gotten me with this how many times now, and I'm not doing it.
Come
I
on.
No
so you lost. You came in last
lost.
Place.
You lost. You stink.
Okay, Mike.
So you're an NFL insider, but you stink at fantasy.
I won't ask question. You about your team, but what was the punishment that you had to do for coming in last place?
I wasn't in last place.
We don't give
cares.
A fuck. We don't give a fuck. Yeah. We don't
no,
care
what?
About where you
that,
finished.
That, you tried. That was a nice try. That's not as good as getting me to finally.
Okay, real last,
right,
real last question. Real last question. Do you want? I was going to ask what team is going to fall in love with Josh Allen because he's 6'4 and a white guy.
Yeah, you know what?
All of them. He stinks. I've watched him so many times. He fucking stinks. And you watch these other guys like Baker and Lamar Jackson who've been really good against good competition. And then it's like, well, Josh Allen, he, you know, he's 6'4 and he can throw the ball, you know, a country mile. So we might as well take him. And also, I like this, the Carson Wentz thing now. Like, small school. He's like the yeah. next Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm. Next Joe Flacco.
The ability to like think outside the box is so funny in the NFL where they're just like, tall white guy, small school. Other tall white guy, yeah. small school. Yes,
you know
we
what,
got
though? It just shows you that when it comes to projecting what a guy's going to do at the next level, they got no freaking clue. And mm-hmm. they act like they know. They have no idea because you don't know where a guy's ceiling is between whatever he did at the college level and the Pro Football Hall of Fame until you put him out there. Look at what Deshaun Watson did. Deshaun Watson was more dominant at the NFL level than he was at the college level. Nobody expected that. They cannot project because you can't know until he's out there with grown men trying to produce in that environment. Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. And all that other stuff is just bullshit to justify their jobs because they ultimately don't know.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a good answer. That was the SeatGeek question.
I do have one more question.
Download SeatGeek and put in promo code TAKE for $10 off.
Is there anybody else, any other teams out there that could be making a move that maybe we haven't heard that much about?
Well, you know, there's always a surprise every year, right? Remember a couple years ago, the Buccaneers dumped Lovie Smith out of the blue. I mean, there are some that wouldn't surprise me. Like, I just said Mike McCarthy. Like, this Ted Thompson thing is kind of close to McCarthy mm-hmm. getting pushed out. And Thompson essentially getting pushed out, but they're making it look like he's not pushed out. Would it shock anyone if John Harbaugh
no.
was going to Baltimore?
That was
going to
be my
no
that was that's what I was rooting around for, like a hog looking for an acorn.
And I'm a big Adam Gase fan, but
yep.
the way things fell apart for them down the stretch and all that ugliness on Sunday, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Stephen Ross says I got to do something else. But I think that what weighs in Adam Gase's favor is, and the irony is, for all the dysfunction on the field, he's cleaned out all the dysfunction in the organization, and they had a lot of that over the past 5 years, but. You know, that's why they call it a surprise. I mean, you just don't know. You don't know.
True.
And it all pops up out of nowhere, and it's like the last guy we expected is the guy who ends up walking away.
Bill Belichick.
Too. You know, why don't you guys win the Super Bowl? Maybe he walks away. I wouldn't be shocked if Zimmer, after everything Zimmer's been through the last couple of years, he's in his early 60s, they win a Super Bowl. Maybe he just says, that's it, I'm done, I'm gone.
Donates his eye to science.
I don't see Zimmer doing that. I think that Zimmer would yeah. go insane if he walked away
yes.
from football.
Yeah, he absolutely would.
He needs
You're
it.
Talking about the guy who was tried to rip the IV out of his arm and was like, I got to go coach my team, which I might have made up, but it sounds right.
Yeah, but you get to a point where I think age and like all these different health issues, like with Arians, everything he's been through, like I don't know how he thrives without football, but you just get to a point where physically you just can't do it.
Wow.
I'm
that's
not saying
what are you trying to tell us, Mike? You going to retire?
No, hell no.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
going to die with my... I'm going to
die
with
a little
with
tired
my,
there?
My slippers on. No, I'm good.
Okay.
I
don't know. Sounded like you were projecting
how
there.
How did you get twisted around to me?
Sounded like you were projecting on us.
I was looking
you're
at your schedule.
How tired you were
you've only,
over?
Yeah, you're only doing like five or six shows a day now. Like you're really slowing down.
Yeah.
You confuse me as someone who has like an actual job that entails real stress. I just sit on my ass all day talking to a microphone and typing on my computer.
Well, you should be...
My ass...
With that job, you should be you. With that job, you should be better at fantasy football.
Good point.
Yeah. So,
real quick, you did eat the trash last week. Would you care to defend your weird Jerry Richardson take that you had that the NFL should not investigate him?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The guy is voluntarily accepting the worst thing the NFL can do to him, right? So, I mean, just let him go. It's like saying, I'll take the death penalty. Why are we going to have a trial? Now, I felt that way until I got the impression that the Panthers were trying to push their agenda on what happened. They put Cam Newton out there saying these are just allegations. Once Cam Newton clouds the issue, then my position changes. But if this guy's essentially crying uncle and he's taking the worst punishment, just let him walk away. But if he's not going to essentially plead guilty, right, if he's going to accept the sentence, not plead guilty and try to fight back against it, then they got to find out what happened.
Oh,
that's my position.
My stance is they should investigate so they can actively clear his good name,
yeah,
and just restore Jeans Friday,
yeah,
to its rightful spot.
Or they should investigate who was the previous owner of his heart. Let's get that guy.
Mm-hmm. Let's give him the Michael death Jackson. Penalty.
Yeah,
already dead.
Hey. Oh.
Then problem solved. Well,
the guy doesn't have a heart.
Yeah, case
closed. The real culprit's dead.
Hey, in all seriousness, the stuff that they pay, you know, these settlements, this is normal course of business in any big business. You got disgruntled former employees who don't like how their employment ended. They go find a lawyer, and they come up with claims. And I'm not saying they're being made up. I'm saying that this is common. And you just have to wonder how many other owners are worried that issue is going to land in on their desk, mm-hmm, in the new year.
Yeah, a lot of Jeans Fridays going around the NFL. All right, Mike, thank you so much. We'll see you in terrible Minnesota. I actually love Minneapolis, but not in February. So we'll see you there in less than a month, Super Bowl week. Hopefully your Vikings will be there.
Are you guys getting credentials this year?
You're hooking us up, right? We're your assistants all week.
Okay, yeah, sure. Just like I did last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Perfect.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
We're getting covered.
Bye, Dad.
That interview was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. A fresh new year has begun, and if you're setting new goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team. And ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding them. Did your business have any New Year's resolutions? Here's an important one every business should consider. Make your hiring process more efficient and more effective. This year, let ZipRecruiter help. No one has done a better job of transforming how you find the right talent than they have. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates so you never miss a great match. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. You can find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. The interview is also brought to you by MyBookie. Cash. You need it, and I know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to score some serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the playoffs are here. That means there's lots of big football games, but also basketball and hockey games you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros. You can play the money line, side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. If you want to make money betting the games, you've got to go to MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code PMT to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a Kings Stay Kings for Rob Gronkowski. So Gronk ended the season with exactly 69 catches.
Mm-hmm. Get it?
And when he was asked about it, he supposedly gave a little smirk and was like, yeah, I know how many catches I had. And the best part is he missed out on like a $2 million roster bonus or performance bonus. If he had just gotten a few more catches, he would have had it. But
worth it. He had zero catches. I don't even think he had a target in that game.
No, he didn't. I don't think he played in week 17.
No, he played.
Oh, he did, but he didn't have any targets. But here's what I don't understand. Rob Gronkowski's agent, how do you not work into the deal that like 69 kicks off like the mega bonus?
If you hit it directly on the dot.
Exactly.
I'm not even talking about going over 69.
Right.
I'm saying if you
hit
if,
69.
If you, it's like if you're playing 21 and you land directly on 21.
Right.
That is perfect. Yeah.
That's exactly. Like, how does Rob not have that in his contract?
I think that's a some poor planning on his part.
Yeah. We also have Lane Kiffin, King State Kings. What happened with Lane?
So Lane was on SportsCenter this morning, and they asked him if he still keeps in touch with Nick Saban. He says, you know, not really. You know, he doesn't really have a phone to text, so I just, you know, I text his wife.
Okay.
Yeah, he went out of his way to make sure that people knew that he texts his wife.
He's texting his wife.
I think he texts Saban's wife whenever Saban's wife is like holding his daughter's phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he's texting.
Yeah, that's
his wife,
when
you know
he's hitting up the wife.
Yeah.
And being like, that's, I would love to see the bitmojis that Lane Kiffin sends Saban's wife.
Oh my God.
Saban would be so mad. That's definitely kept from Saban. They don't let like Nick know that.
I don't think
he'll fly off the handle.
I don't think Nick knows he has a phone.
Yeah, Nick doesn't. Nick knows what's on the Weather Channel.
Yeah,
that'd be great if there was like a text into the Weather Channel and just Lane Kiffin started trolling him on that.
At the bottom line, of
the
scrolling bottom
right.
line, it's like, hey Nick, I'm talking to your wife.
Hey
right
man,
now.
It's really hot today. I'm talking to your wife, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, I had an idea in the MMBM that Lane Kiffin should just learn how to code and design an app for himself.
Mm.
It's basically Uber. But it's he's the only customer, and then instead of cars, it's just all of his former co-workers' wife's vaginas.
Mm,
and so he
can
just find out where they are at all times.
Just get a little locator on them.
Yeah.
By the way, this might be just because I'm like so hungover and delirious from the last week, but it's kind of weird when you think about it that Nick Saban's name is Nicholas.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird, right?
Nicholas? Is that weird? Nichols?
Nicholas?
Nikolai?
Nicholas Saban?
Yeah.
I guess it's weird, right?
I guess it's weird.
Like, if you saw him on the street, you're like, hey, what's up, Nicholas? That's weird.
Just call him Nicholas from now on.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
Nicholas Saban.
Nicholas Saban is weird.
Okay.
Yeah, that is, right? I'm right. Like, that's kind of a high moment there for me, but, like, Nicholas Saban is kind of creepy.
All right.
We should start calling him Lass.
Ooh.
Lass Saban.
Lassie. Okay. Lassie Saban.
All right. And the last King State Kings is for Skip Bayless, who had... Wow, he squatted on a hell of a take. He said Nicholas Saban says Alabama lost its identity at Auburn. Getting torched in big games has been Alabama's identity.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice one right before they just curb stomped Clemson.
I mean,
so,
Nick Saban can't win the big one.
Yeah, he's won like a billion national titles. He's like 6-3 or something in the playoffs games. And...
But has he ever beaten Skip Bayless's Dallas Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
That's the real question. You have
good
to
point.
Ask yourself.
Probably, I don't know. Did the Dolphins
probably
play
not.
Them that year?
Probably not.
Yeah. The Cowboys sucked then. So,
yeah, so
but the Dolphins sucked more.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
Yeah. All right, we have a not to brag, but we called it. So what did you call?
So we called a big news dump coming
the
weekend before Christmas, the Friday before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, except it was just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saying, we're going to keep Dirk Koetter. And they just buried that on the Friday before Christmas in like the late afternoon.
They didn't want, that's like a shameful thing to have to announce.
Yes, very shameful.
Like
we're
keeping this guy. We're probably going to fire him week 5 after Jameis starts 1-4. But yeah, we're keeping him for right now.
Yeah, that's like eloping.
Do you think he got a little help from the hurricane? I feel like that helped him.
Because
that was like the season, we had a lot of adversity.
Yeah, any time that you can like throw a wrench into just your team's schedule,
mm-hmm.
like it doesn't matter
if it's delayed flight.
Yeah, flights. Like
Flew one week.
If you have to stay in an airport for more than 8 hours with your team at some point during the year, then you're like, this guy kept the locker room together through some tough times.
Right, real tough times.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a not to brag, but I called it. You want to say anything to me?
No.
Because the Chargers were the best team to not make the playoffs.
Ooh.
Just like I fucking called.
Do you really think that they were?
Absolutely were.
Hmm.
They finished very strong.
Ravens.
They had a better I looked at the numbers. They had a better like DVOA than the Ravens.
Ooh, okay.
They
nerd.
Were a better team than the Ravens. So would you like to say sorry to me?
I would not like to apologize.
Okay, that's really sad that you can't be a man up to it. Would you like to say sorry to me, Hank?
No.
You also laughed at me.
No,
I said that. I said it in like week 10. I said the Chargers would be the best team to not make the playoffs. You both said you're fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers
yep.
stink.
That sounds like me.
Like they're terrible, terrible team, and then I was proven exactly right.
The Bengals.
The Bengals.
Okay.
Okay.
I have another stat. If we're going to talk about numbers here, I don't know if you guys saw this. Drew Brees completed his season with the highest completion percentage, passing Sam Bradford.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay. So right. There you go. Would you like to apologize to me then?
No, because Sam had the record for a year,
mm-hmm.
so that's pretty good. So, go ahead, Chargers.
No, I'm not going to apologize for anything on that.
You're not a man. You don't man up to it. You
not.
Never say sorry. You want to say something to Hank?
No, I don't want to say anything.
You sure?
Yeah, you sure?
I'm sorry that I'm not sorry.
Yeah, you never say sorry for your mistakes. Mm-hmm. We have a Sabermetrics. This is for Russell Wilson and talking about Jimmy Graham's contract. He's a free agent.
Yep.
And he said Jimmy Graham is a unicorn, and there's only so many of those in the world.
Yeah, he says he's like a unicorn. There are only so many of them in the world. So I think that Russell is maybe he's confused about what a unicorn is.
Because well, no, it's not. No, Porzingis.
Yeah, well,
he's a unicorn.
It's not like Russell Wilson to believe in something that doesn't exist.
We You're know saying that, unicorns
we know,
don't exist?
We know that about him.
You're saying unicorns don't exist?
You ever seen one?
Yeah.
Where?
Jimmy Graham.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Just reversed it on you there. By the way, Jimmy Graham, like, stunk this year. Well, he had, like,
stunk every year.
He had,
there.
Like, 300 yards. He had, like, 12 touchdowns, but he didn't get any yards.
I don't think he stunk this year. It was weird when he went out to Seattle because for a while, like, Pete Carroll had never seen a good tight end. So he didn't know what to do with him at all. And so he just, like, run to the corner of the end zone and stand there like a jackass.
It was a great trade because the Seahawks traded the one thing they need all the time, an offensive line, mm-hmm. for Jimmy Graham. And everyone's like, oof, I probably said it too. It was like, oh, the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl now mm-hmm. with Jimmy Graham.
What's a unicorn? You said Porzingis is a unicorn?
Yes.
Jimmy Graham's a unicorn. It's just a basketball player then.
Oh, so interesting.
People forget Jimmy Graham played basketball in college.
I played basketball.
Yeah.
So I'm a unicorn.
You are a unicorn. Yeah.
Okay, nice. That's wow. So whenever I become a free agent, pony up. Mm-hmm. I'm a unicorn. All right, last thing we have is embrace debate. We have to come to a conclusion here, boys, what year it is. Mm-hmm. So there's been a little confusion. We lived all of 2017 as it was 2016.
Well, it was 2016.
Yeah, it was 2016. The joke, if you're a new listener, was everyone complained that 2016 was the worst year ever on Twitter.
I think for me it was mostly anytime they wanted to like prove someone else's argument wrong, be like, it's 2016, come on, we're better than that.
Yeah, but then the flip side of that was all the people who were like, all these celebrity deaths and you know, all the politics, all this stuff. When will 2016 end? Like, for some reason, that as soon as one cold day in December turns to January, all the world's problems go away. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite part about 2016, that it was actually just the number 2016 that made everything shitty.
Already?
Yeah. Oh, can the year, can it, oh. Yeah. So what year is it, guys?
So, right. So we just...
I think we got to go with just 2018.
We lived an entire year at...
yeah, we did the impossible. We did the impossible. We lived an entire year as the year before it. Is it successfully?
Well, is it like I was talking about the other week, where through daylight savings time, if you just don't set your clock, eventually you become right again. Is it now
2018?
2016 again.
The other thing to factor in is that we started in 2016, and last year was only our quarter year anniversary.
That's good, so our first show is on.
First show was on February 29th.
Now halfway through 2016.
Okay, so it's still 2016.
It's still 2016. Still that's right there. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. I don't know how long I can stick with it, but I'm gonna try.
It's 2016.
2016. All right. That is our show. We're gonna have another show tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going back to back. You think you could do it?
Kind of a weird schedule for you. I got stamina for days, bro.
This is, you know what
it's
this
birthday
is.
Birthday month. I'm ready to go.
You know what this is? This is like playing Thursday night football. We're gonna be sore. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be rested. You know, it's going to be one of those things. They don't care about our health. They're making us do podcasts 2 days in a row.
I get it. It's a business, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to come out here. We're going to do our job because we're professionals.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying they don't care about our health.
But I'm just saying if we get down early in the game, we're probably just going to mail it in. Mm-hmm. So
it's going to be a blowout one way or the other.
Yeah, let's hope the game plan works.
One of us isn't going to show up.
Yes, exactly. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Love you guys.
Touchdown!
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now, come on and shout. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Shout it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Come on and shout. Buffalo's happening now.
Shout.
We're on the moon now.
Shout.
The Bills are happening now.
Shout.
They're making it happen now.
Shout.
We've got the spirit.
Shout.
A lot of spirit, yeah.
Shout.
We've got the spirit.
Shout.
Just watch it happen now. Hey,
hey.
Hey,
hey.
Hey,
hey.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go, Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Okay.